You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk. Says, let's go to our text in Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. We used this last week, and the Bible says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the power to gain wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to you, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The Bible says, let me repeat the scripture. It says, for it is he who gives the power to get wealth. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us. We thank you that you are a blesser, that you are faithful to us. Father, you have given us all good things to enjoy. Father, I pray that we would tap into today your supernatural provision. Your word says it's you that gives us the power, the ability, the strength, Father, to gain wealth. And we pray that we would see that upon our lives, individually and as a church. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let me start by saying this. What do you think about being rich? Some of you, if I said here, how many want to be rich? Some of you wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know whether to put your hand up or not put your hand up. There's a bit of a hesitation. Is it? If I ask you this, to be rich, is it good or bad? See, if you've been in church a little while, you may be a little bit hesitant because you know what the Bible says about the rich. If you've read your Bible at all, there are scriptures. The Bible gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. How many have ever read that? The rich man and Lazarus. And here we see a negative because this man is rich. He never helped a poor person. He never helped someone that was very close to him. He must have seen this guy because the Bible says he was at his gate. He was nearby. And so this rich man never helped this guy, seen in a negative light. The Bible speaks also about the rich fool. Luke 12, it speaks about the rich fool. And what it says is, there's a guy and he's done really well. He's had a good year. His crops have come in. This is like an investor and he's got a good investment. Things are going well for him. And the Bible says that he's counting his money. He's looking at his books and he's like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build more. And the Bible says that God looks at him and says, you fool. Because tonight, your soul is required of you. You're going to die tonight and your money is not going to go with you. And he says, listen, you was rich towards yourself, but you was not rich towards God. Negative. The book of James says that if you read about what in the book of James, the Bible says that if a guy comes into your assembly and he looks rich, and actually in the King James it says if a guy comes in with gay clothing, but he weren't talking about that type of gay clothing. But he says, if a guy comes in and he looks rich, don't give him the best seat. And then say to the poor man, come sit down here and be a footstool. He says, you know what, you have no favoritism in the church. And then he says this, isn't the rich that blaspheme and oppress you? Again, we see a negative. And the classic one is that Matthew 19 verse 24. I'm not even going to paraphrase it. I want to read it. It says, and again, I say to you, it is easy for a camel to go through the eyes of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This is Jesus speaking. How many know when Jesus speaks, we need to listen? These are quite negative connotations about the rich. And I was thinking, the question is, what is God's problem with the rich? Well, I believe that if we look throughout the entirety of Scripture, God does not have a problem with the amount of money that you earn. God has a problem with the trust you have in the amount of money you earn. God has no problem. The Bible doesn't say that you must be on minimum wage. The Bible doesn't glorify poverty. The Bible doesn't say that somehow that this is what God is totally into. What the Bible actually shows us is that it's not the amount of money you have. It's when you trust in the amount of money you have. And the reality is many times the more money you have, the more you trust it. Bible shows us, I read the scripture last week, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, meaning full of pride, or to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives richly to all, gives all things to enjoy. Gives us all things to enjoy. Think about that. It says, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. See, the problem is this. What does it mean? What does it look like when you trust in riches? And I kind of just dabbled on it last week. But three things here. The Bible says that this is what God has a problem with. When you trust in riches. The first thing is when you trust in riches, you make it your idol. Riches becomes your idol. Really? And so I've said it before, but it should be repeated. Most of life is about idols and doubt. That's what most of life is about. Now, we understand that we do not, most of you shouldn't have idols, like a statue of a god. You say, yeah, this is Molech. I come to your house, there's a statue above your fireplace, and this is Molech, pastor. You know, this is our god. Most people don't have those statues. If you've come from another religion, you may have them. But we're not to have any statues. How many of you shouldn't be? You shouldn't have a crucifix in your house with some guy on it. That's not Jesus. You shouldn't have a picture in your house saying that's Jesus. You don't know who that brother is. You don't know who that guy is. The artist could have been looking at some pervert painting and then put long hair on it and say it's Jesus. Most of the time it's not even Jesus. It wouldn't even look like blonde, gold hair, skin pale. And come on. But we shouldn't have any images, but we do have idols. You may not have, you know, and you may not be dancing around the living rooms, you know, doing all of that. But we have idols in our hearts. See, an idol is anything you put before God. Anything that you and I put before God, that becomes your idol. And the Bible says, do not trust in riches, because when you trust in your money or you trust in riches, what it is, you've made it an idol. That means if God says don't lie, but riches says no lie and you'll get more, you trust your God. You trust your idol. You'll lie to get money. You'll steal to get money. You'll cheat people to get money. You'll go to the shop, they give you the wrong change. You'll be like, praise God. I remember going somewhere recently and they gave me the wrong change, gave me like an extra £20 or something like that. I said, no, this is wrong. The guy looked at me like I was mad that I would give back the money. But the reason why I could do that is because money is not my God. God is my God. And so God sees. God be like, hey, listen, bro, your little teeth, you better give that back. I'm like, yeah, but they gave it back to me. God's like, no, you're teething. Give it back. You're stealing, sorry. Sometimes my wife says you're a big girl, so. Not only an idol, it promotes pride. When you trust in riches, it promotes pride. Because you start to feel like you're better than other people. Where everything now, you want to buy things and wear things and drive things and decorate your house in a way. And it's all to do with showing off. It's all to do with like what they don't have. And look what I have. And if they have it, then you've got to go to the next level. This is why when people have weddings, we kind of say, look. You know, if you want us to do the wedding, there's a limit on this. We don't want 50 bridesmaids. It's like the whole church is like like a conga line. We don't want everybody coming down. Limit it, because listen, one person has 5 bridesmaids, then a sister, no, she had 5. I'm gonna have 6. Another sister, I heard, hey, so and so's having 6. Let's have 20. And before we know it, it's human nature. And this is how people use money. They use money to buy things, to show off that you have things. I say it all the time. Listen, if you want to buy nice stuff, you buy it. But it shouldn't be to show off. That's insecurity. The other thing is when you trust in money, it becomes, you start to lust after it. That means that you want it all the time. When you lust after, listen, when you got lust in you, you do crazy things. Listen, a brother full of lust, he's crazy. People that are full of lust, they will do crazy things, man. A sister full of lust, hey, that woman will do something crazy. You're like, why did you do that? You're crazy. It's lust. Because it burns within you. Lust. It's like, I gotta have it. You'll have it at any cost. You'll do anything for money. See, in our text, he says this: God gives us the power to get wealth.
Yes.
Wealth. It actually uses that word, and I studied that word, and you know what it means? It means to basically for your business to prosper. God gives you the ability for your business to prosper. God is, I like that. I like that, man. Some of you don't, I don't know you don't like it. Don't worry, I have yours. The Bible says use to gain wealth. The word wealth means your business to prosper. It means actually to have property or to be a landowner. Think about this now. So we understand that God blesses his people with wealth. Let's think of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Each one of these men, this is God, that God starts everything he's going to do with these men. He calls Abraham out of the Chaldeans, and he starts the beginning of this whole movement that God is going to redeem the world. And he starts with this man. But we see that here is a man that had resources. Remember when Abraham wanted to bury his wife, he was able to buy land to bury his wife. They actually said to him, no, Abraham, man, come on, let's chill in. You can just have it. Take it. Abraham said, no, I don't roll like that. I'm going to pay. When Abraham, you see how Abraham would be functioning. Abraham never was just taking freebies. He was like, no, I've got it. I'm going to pay. Because here is a man that God was blessing. We know that Isaac, the Bible says that Isaac built wells and he was doing things. But the Bible, it shows us a text where it says that he prospered 100-fold. 100-fold. Whatever he invested in, it came back. Remember Jacob? When Jacob was old, there's a famine. This is when Joseph is in Egypt. Remember the story? There's a big famine. Joseph has the dream. His coat is of many colors and all of this. But the Bible says that when Jacob is there, and his name is Israel now, and he's old, he tells his sons, go into Egypt and buy for us food. He had resources. He didn't say go to Egypt and beg. So each one of these men, we see that God provided for them. See, Deuteronomy 15 verse 6 says, for the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. This is a God's promise to his people. Think about this, what he said there. Let me cut it down. God says, you will lend to people, you won't borrow. Think about that principle there. How many know that there's a lot of borrowing going on? Hey, borrow me. Hey, lend me. The Bible says that God has a plan for his people, that you know what? The posture is that to be able to lend to other people means that I have to have it. How many know you can't lend what you don't have? So for me to be able to lend, that means God has already had to be able to bless. Already had to give me excess. This is biblical. Many people, they miss this. Think of the speeches of Jesus, the parables, where Jesus speaks about wealth and he doesn't speak about it in a negative way. Let me give you some parables here. Matthew 21 speaks about the landowner. And the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who had land and he let it out. And he says, basically, he was trying to bring a parable of God and how God functioned with us. And so Jesus said, here was a man, he let out his land. But the landowner is supposed to represent God. He was the positive. So in the structure when Jesus was saying, he was saying that this is the good guy. The guy that owned the land. The Bible speaks about another parable. About a guy that goes out and he sees men lining up, just doing nothing, waiting around. And he says, what are you doing? They said, we got nothing. He says, I want to employ you. Here is an employer. He's seen as the hero. The Bible speaks about what we understand, the prodigal son. How many know the prodigal son? Prodigal son, he takes what his father gave him. First of all, the father had to have something to give. How many know there's so many people nowadays, we grow up, no one gave us anything. I don't know. No, nobody's given to people. Many times I'm talking to people, did your mom and dad give you an inheritance? Did you have an inheritance? Blank. Exactly, silence. But here is a man who is able to give his children inheritance. The father is the good guy. Not only is he able to give his son inheritance, when his son comes back, he blesses his son. He's able to bless him and kill the fatted calf and put robe and rings and gold. Here again, Jesus is showing that just because someone has wealth, it doesn't mean they're negative. These are the heroes in the story. But this is where the problem comes in, is that, and I think the illustration is kind of revealed the best. Jesus goes to, in John 5, Jesus meets this guy and he's at the well of Bethesda. And here is a guy who's crippled, he cannot walk, and he's at the well of Bethesda. And so I need some Prince, you look like you come up. Okay, you just stand here. You're going to be the guy at Bethesda. Amen. I look like a kid standing next to you, man. Hallelujah. I need to get down to the gym, man. Okay, and so what we're going to do is, let's get someone else. Kenny, we haven't had you up for a while. And Kenny's got, come, up you come, Daddy Kenny. Hallelujah, stand here. And so what happens is this, is that what I want you to imagine is there's a prince, there's a well here, yeah? So this is what you're looking at. This is what you want to get to. But the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, that this guy, basically he's lame, he cannot walk, he cannot move, he cannot get up, and so he's been laid at the well of this pool of Bethesda, and so he's laying there. And what the story goes like this, is that from time to time an angel would come down and would stir the water. And when the angel would stir the water, there'd be this mass rush to get in, and the first one that would get into the pool would be healed. And so all of these lame people, they would be hanging out around the pool. And so what would happen is this, is that he can't move. He just can't get there. Unless someone helps him, he cannot get there. And so try to get there, but you can't move. You can't move. You can't see this, but this is. Do it. Just do it standing up. That move there. Yeah, that's excellent, man. And so let's say that Kenny's there, and so he can move. And so let's just start again. Go back to your normal poses. And so I'm an angel. I'm gonna come down. I stir the pool. Kenny, what are you gonna do? You can move. What are you gonna do? That's it. So Kenny gets there first. He's healed. Shows you're healed. You need healing, man. And so here is this guy. Okay, you can stay there. Stay where you are. And so Jesus comes to him. So think about this now. What is he focusing on? The pool. He realizes if I get to the pool, he's been there many, many years. His focus is the pool. That's where he wants to get to. Then Jesus comes to him and says, listen, do you want to be made well? And you know the first thing he says is, this is what he says. He says, I have nobody to bring me into the pool. When the angel, when it stirred, I can't, nobody is here to help me to get into the pool. Did Jesus ask him about the pool?
No.
Jesus says, do you want to be made well? But his focus is what? Point to the pool. This is his whole life. Keep pointing. This is his whole life. If I get to the pool, I'll be happy. If I get to the pool, I'll have what I need. If I get to the pool, my life will be better. If I get to the pool, all my answers, everything will be fixed. If I get to the pool, Jesus says, listen, the very thing. See, what does this man want? He wants to get to the pool, but to get to the pool for healing. Jesus comes to him and says, do you need healing? Do you want to be healed? This is what he really wants. But really, all he sees is the... Okay, let's give this. Let me change this analogy. Let's just say this is money. This is money. This is us. We want a job. We want a house. We want clothes. We want food. Come on. Yeah, listen, no, not me, Pastor. We just want a Bible and we're happy. Come on, let's be honest. You want a car? You've already got a car. You like a newer car. You want a house? You want some clothes? You like to go on a holiday now and again? Hey, amen. You like to bless your kids, have something to give your kids when they grow up. Say, hey, you know, no one gave me this, but let me give you this. Let me help you out. Let me give you a head start. That's what we want. So we want all these things, and we think that money will give it to us. Because if I have money, I'll get to the house. So if I get money, I'll be happy. So God comes down to us and says, listen, do you want real life? And what do we point to? Money. Yeah. See, what Jesus did is Jesus says, listen, you've been looking for the well. I can give you what you wanted from the well. Jesus says this, I can give you the very things that you think only money could give you. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual things. Oh, just happiness. I know he can give me happiness, but I need a dress. No, what God is saying, listen, I can bless you with or without money.
Yeah.
With or without money. Give him a round of applause. Sit down, Prince. Listen. We focus on money, and so money becomes an idol. And we say, not until I get money, will I be happy. Can I say, let me make a statement here. You don't need money. Some of you are like, wait, listen, I'm going. See you next week. No. Honestly, you don't need money. Let me prove my point. Let's say there was such thing as a 10 million pound note. 10 million pound note. How many would like that note? Hi, I'll swallow that baby up. Be dealing with it. That million pound note be broken quick time. So 10 million pound note. But let me prove to you, you don't need money. You can't. If we put you on a desert island and there is no resources, no way of getting off the island, that 10 million pound note would do you no good. Remember what I said? I said you don't need money. See, on the island, you still need food. On the island, you still need clothes, some type of clothes. On the island, you still need shelter. See, the 10 million pound note now does you no good. Because you can't eat it. You can't wear it. You can't live in it. So actually, when we break it down, we actually don't need money. What we need is resources. We need what money can bring. We need food. We need a house. We need clothes. God knows what we need. Can I say to you today, our God has them. He has resources. Look at someone say he's got it. Our God has resources. See, you're worried about, oh, this money, if I don't get that money, if I'm happy with this money, this person said they will give me money. Can I say to you, the very thing that you want money to get, God already has. Resources. See, this is the point I was trying to illustrate, is that God can come down and provide supernatural resources. God says to the guy, listen, Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Imagine if God said, do you want a house? I can get you a house. Think about it. Can God not give you a house?
Yes.
He has resources. He has limitless resources. So you need to understand this and get this. The Bible says that, you know, he has the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just think of a few of the stories of scripture. The woman, the widow with, not Elijah, but Elisha. And I spoke about it a few weeks ago, about when she couldn't pay her debts. And the guy said, what do you have in your house? And she says, I have a little bit of oil. And he says, borrow all the jars you've got. Pour that little bit of oil into all the jars that you could borrow from your neighbors. And all the jars kept getting full. And loads and loads of jars. And then she was able to sell that. That's resources. He didn't give her money. He gave her resources. Supernatural resources. What do we know about Jesus and the fish and the loaves? What did he say? He said, you feed them. They're like, listen, we ain't got no money. That shows you how we think. This is how we always think. Money. If we had money, we could solve the problem. Money. See, most of us here, the reason why we're here today is economics. Well, let me just prove the point with myself. My mother's family come from Ireland. My dad's family come from Jamaica. Now, people from Ireland and Jamaica did not come to England for the weather. They did not come here because of the beauty, the scenery. The reason why Irish people came to England was for jobs, money, economics. The reason why Jamaican people came here, economics. That's what it is. Listen, if you could get a job in Jamaica, you're staying there. Because the weather's a lot nicer there than it is here. This is why when people get older, traditional Jamaican people, they'll go back. Because that's where they prefer. Now they've got the money, they want to live. They're only living here because of the money. Many. It's economics. See, the reason why most of you are here, if you look to your family, the reason why they're here is economics. See, what we believe is this. If we can get the money, we can get what we need. God is always showing us, listen, I can provide supernatural resources. Jesus says, feed these people. Feed them. The disciple says, listen, man, not even, I don't know, 200, whatever he said, denarii couldn't even feed all these people. Jesus is like, listen, what have you got? They said, this is what we got. He starts to break the bread, the fish, distribute it out. It feeds everybody with some left over. Baskets left over. Feeds over 5,000 people. What that shows is God has limitless resources. He is able to meet every need with some left over. Amen. He's able to bless you with some left over. Amen. Not always scrimping, save, we just made it. Okay, and then the rat race once again for the next month. Oh, we just made. Listen, God is able to cater for the month and some left over. He has limitless resources. This is what we see in the scriptures. See, I spoke about Elijah in the beginning, and the Bible says that this widow woman, she gives Elijah the meal, and then she goes back, and the flour and the oil in 1 Kings 17 verse 6 says, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. See, I want to give you, we're going to start to close this thing down, but this is what I want you to, this is what I want to deposit in your mind. God has limitless resources. See, some of us, we have a poverty mindset. Some of us have a poverty mindset. Listen, I grew up with a poverty mindset. I'm going to be honest with you. I was ghetto. I remember growing up, saying to my wife, I've said over the pulpit, I remember growing up, I never went to a restaurant growing up. Literally. I don't remember going to a restaurant growing up. I think I went to McDonald's. That was like a restaurant. I don't think I went to a restaurant until after I got saved. Until after I was about 22. Yeah, that's right. Someone laughed. I don't remember, you know, so to me it's like, oh my days, can you do it? I remember going to a restaurant, I felt weird, like, what do I do, man? People are looking at me like they know. I take the napkin, where do I put it? What do I do with it, man? I just don't know. There's many things I don't know. I'm not saying that that's like the goal of life. I'm just trying to show people that, you know, I didn't understand things. You know, when you just, you this mindset where there's not enough to go around. Yeah. That's the point I'm making, is that we feel there's not enough to go around, many of us. See, many of us, we've grown up poor, and we think that's where we're going to die. We think that's where we're going to stay. Yeah. Because we think, oh, the rich people got all the money now, so they were born rich, we were born poor, and we just got to stay in our station. No, sir. There is limitless resources. You must understand that. There is limitless resources. See, let me give you an illustration here. Let's say there's 200 people in this building today. And let's just say there are 300 envelopes. And each envelope had 10 million pounds in it. Some of you are licking your lips, man. It's just an illustration. And listen, what we said is this. Each one of you has to find your envelope. And once you find one envelope, you take the envelope, you register it, and then you go. You have to leave. So imagine we told you that you believed it. What would you start doing? Start hunting, running around, looking for it. And then you say, someone would be like, "Woo! Yeah, I got it." You'd be like, "My dears, yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay, let's keep going." And you go around, maybe it's down to 10 people left. You still realize there's 110 envelopes. 10 people left. Then it goes down to 9. Then it goes down to 2. Just you and someone else. Then you're the last person here. So really, truly, there's 101 envelopes still left in this place. What would you keep doing? Searching. Keep looking. You know it, but you know it's true. You know it works. You know it's real. You don't get depressed. Actually, you're more confident when you see other people getting it. You're actually happy. Yeah, it's actually true. This thing actually works. You're not bitter. You're not a hater. See, this is the difference. You keep looking. What if you don't find it in one place? Do you give up? No. What if you don't find it in 2 places? 3? You keep going until you find it. You don't give up. See, this is a difference of mindset, because if you believe there's only one envelope in here and there's 200 people in here, you would lose your stinking mind. People would be fighting. There'd be black eyes, bleeding. Nails would be coming off. Eyelashes would be coming off. Maybe eyebrows as well. There'd be brothers strangling each other. Weave flying everywhere. And then one person said, "I got it." You would despise them. Now let me say this. How do you see life? How do you see life? Do you see life as there's limitless resources? See, when you see limitless resources, when you see someone else succeed, you're happy for them. Like, yeah, they can do it. Why can't I? When you see there's limited resources, you hate them. Because they got what you can now never have. And so you start to resort to other means. Illegal means. Deceptive means. Wicked means. See, God wants to show us today. He says, listen, I've got limitless resources. God wants to break your thinking. See, people that have limited mindset, they always want to take and never want to give. You have a poverty mindset. These guys, you know, yeah, I remember going out with a few guys, and when I was in the body in Rotherhithe, and some guys, they were just stingy, always tired. Hey, let's go, let's take some new converts out. No, I ain't got it. You take me out. I know you got money, man. You got money. I remember saying to one guy, hey, let's go and take some new people out. There's some new people in our church. Let's take them out. Let's bless them. He says, listen, I'll come if you pay for me. I say, you're a big man. Pay for yourself, man. You've been coming to church 5 years. Pay for yourself. I'm paying for you. You work. It's like you ain't got no job. You work, man. Oh, no, I can't come. I'm saving up for a car. Come on, man. It's like £20. What kind of car are you buying for £20? £20 is going to make a difference. I remember he said that to me. I remember the Holy Spirit said to me, listen, son, he'll never be successful. I remember he bought some whack car. Yeah, whack. And some of you are like, that's not nice. No, listen. Listen, God wants to bless people. The car was always breaking down. And I remember someone just crashed into it, man. Listen, what's the point I'm making? No, you listen, it's not about how big or small or wide or what car you drive. That's not the case. What I'm saying is this, is that you won't give to others. You won't release. You won't, it's all about you and what you're, you know, this and that. Maybe put it off a month. Can't you bless? Because when you do that, you don't, because you don't believe there's unlimited resources. You don't believe there's unlimited, that God can just give. People that believe, listen, there's so much that God has for me and so much in the world, the more I give, I'll get it back again. That's how I believe. Listen, I can just give it. It's not going to be your last. There's more. Yes. See, we should be tripping over ourselves trying to bless one another. No, I'll pay. No, I'm paying. No. I pay. The other day, I remember I was in a restaurant. I see people doing that. I was like, yeah, that's a good spirit. No, I'll pay. No, I pay. If God has unlimited resources, he could give you anything. But how many know we don't have unlimited resources? How many want to tap into that? The first thing, listen, I want to close with this, and this is really how we tap into this. The devil trying to call somebody, man. The devil's trying to tap into your limited resources. You better turn that thing off. Say, devil, just as God is about to tell me how to be blessed, the devil rings me up. I never meant it was the devil. It might be someone's mom. I didn't call your mom the devil. This is the first thing, is we need to check our motives, church. See, if we're going to get blessed and we're going to see God do supernatural things, and I believe there are people in this church that God is going to break your expectations in financial blessing, but if that's going to happen, we need to check our motives. We cannot be blessed with pride and lust. We cannot be blessed and we just want to consume it upon ourselves. And if really and truly, you listen, it's so easy to get lost in finances. You know, money changes people. Have you ever, listen, you know what they say? If you want to get rid of someone, lend them some money. You'll never see them again. You ever see someone, hey, we're homies, we're friends, we're brethren, sistering, whatever dream you want. And then, you know, borrow me £10, yeah, no problem. I'll give it back to you when I get it, no problem. It's been 5 years. But, you know, some people are like, oh, it's not. But it burns you because now she's buying new shoes, she's got new hair, she's got new this. She's like, yeah, but you still give me back my £10, man. I mean, you know, it can burn you. And then you have a big argument. But you said give me back whenever I want. I said, yeah, but come on, man. When I lent it to you, I was single now. You know, my son's got married. There's a whole generation gone by. Different currency now, man. Money can change people. So how do we know that this money ain't going to change us? Simple. God has built a safety mechanism into wealth. Did you know that? That God has built a safety mechanism. Something that you can pull to make sure that you don't go crazy when God starts blessing you. And it's very simple. It's giving. Yes. Giving is the safety mechanism so that you don't lose your stinking mind when God starts to bless you. Giving. See, God, when God sees that you can give, God says, listen, I know that I can use you. Because there are needs. You know, sometimes, listen, we think that God is always just going to come down and someone needs £10, he's going to make it fly down with wings and come in their pocket. And no. You know what? There are some people that need £10. You know what God's going to do? He's going to speak to you to give them £10. God wants you to be his hands and feet. God wants you. Do you know God wants to love people through your life? God wants your lips to be the lips that not just go around kissing people, but that go around telling people, listen, there is hope. God loves you. You can make it. You can do it. You're not worthless. God wants to use your hands to help people up, to hug people, to encourage people, to bring people along. God wants to use your feet to go and visit people in hospital or at home or can't make it to church. God wants to use you. And if God sees that you're a giver, he says, listen, I'll get money to you. I'll get finances to you. I'll get blessing to you. I'll get supernatural. Remember what the woman did? What Elijah said to the widow, give to me. And when she gave to him, then supernatural provision, she stepped into the line of that. Not only just given, but given to God first. See, this is where many people trip up. Think of the story. Elijah said, give to me first, then you'll see a miracle. Yeah. She gave to God first, then she saw a miracle. See, many of us think, God, give me a miracle and then I'll hook you up. God's like, I'll give you a miracle and then I need to look you up because I won't even find you anymore. Giving to God first. Can God trust you? Yeah. with resources. See, this woman tapped into this unlimited resources when she gave to God first. Jacob makes a vow, and he says this in Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, God, if you will be with me and keep me in the way that I may go, that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on, and so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that I, for all that I give, all that you give me, I will surely give you, I will surely give a tenth to you. Think about this now. I remember reading this as a new Christian. I remember reading this in Genesis. You know, I got saved, and Genesis was the first kind of Old Testament book I read. And I read this, and so the story is that here is Jacob. He's leaving his father's house. There's beef at home. He's got to go and stay with his uncle. And so he's going there, and as he's going on the way, he falls asleep. He sees a ladder of angels coming up and down. And he says, God, if you bless me, I'm going to give you a tenth. And if you study his life, he goes into Laban's house. He prospers there. And then he comes back, he's been made, when they see him, they're like, my days, you've prospered, man. Look at that, look at the success that you've experienced. I remember being a new Christian. I had no job, I had no GCSEs, I had no formal education. I had nowhere to live. Where I was living is these guys had rented a house, and I had to sneak in the house to stay in this house. I was squatting in this house. Yeah, not for long, but for a couple of months. I had nowhere to live. And so I'm in this house, living in this house, and I remember I'm walking to the job center from like Old Kent Road to Oxford Street. Thank you. Someone laughed. They figured that out, man. Hey, how many of them, that's hoofing it? It's not even walking, that's just hoof. That's like the real deal. And so, I remember asking someone for £5 to buy food. I had no food. Asking someone for £5, they were like, boy, things are tight, you know. I knew they had it, but... Okay. And I was discouraged, and I read this, and I remember praying in the afternoon, just a prayer, and I said, God, if you will bless me, I will try my best to bless others, and I will always give to your kingdom. Amen. I will always give to your kingdom, and I will try my best. If I see people in need, I will always try to give to them. Yeah. That day, half an hour later, my phone rings, and I get a job offer. Amen. Listen. I have never been out of work since that day. I have never been out of work since that day. I have never had the sack, been asked to leave. I've never been demoted. I've never had to take a job where I haven't actually increased my pay. For the last 10 years of my career, before I became a pastor, I was always headhunted. People called me up to offer me jobs, saying, how much do you want to get paid to come and work for us? Because what God says in his word is true. See, what God wants today, listen, he doesn't want your money, he wants you. See, this is what this is all about. God wants you. God wants you to put him first. You know, when people get saved, we use this terminology. You gave your life to Jesus. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we know everything. I mean, no, we're not perfect people. We know we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We know who we are. But we have given our lives to Jesus. See, the issue today, if you're not willing to trust God with your finances, the issue is not a money issue. It's a heart issue. Is that you don't trust, you're like this guy that we spoke about, is that you think that money is the path to resources. God wants to show you today and say, listen, I am the path to resources. I am the path. Imagine if this widow woman had not given to the prophet. She would have robbed herself. Because she said, I've got one meal and then we're going to die. God would have provided for Elijah another way. You read in the Bible, God provided for Elijah by bringing meat through some crows, ravens. God would have done anything he needed to do. Listen to what the Bible says. Malachi 3 verse 10. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. This is God speaking. This is God's intention. Listen, church. God says this. I want to open the windows of heaven and give you such a blessing that there would be not enough room. Imagine God blessing you, that your bank rings you up and say, listen, there's too much money in your account. Imagine God blessing you, that your problem is, I'm struggling to give it away quick enough. Imagine God blessing you in such a way that you're like, you know what? The problem is I'm looking for people to bless more. God says, I can open the windows of heaven and rain down a blessing. Today, we need to make God our priority. Give yourself to God. Hand yourself over. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. Some of you put your education before God. Why? Because you think your education is going to get you resources. No, God. Listen, I have no education and God has given me supernatural resources. I'm not against education, but I'll tell you this. You cannot put education before God. Education has become like an idol. It's like, even if I just that I've mentioned it, some of you are like, no, don't say that. You can't say that, Pastor. No, I will say it. Because, listen, God comes first. You put your job before God. You know, if people treated their job the way they treated God, they'd have been sacked 10 times over. 10 times by now you'd be sacked. If you treated God the way you treat you, because no, but it's my job. I can't tell my boss that. I can't miss my job. I can't turn up late. Because you believe the job is the path to resources rather than God. What when God calls some of you into the ministry? There are men here. God is going to call you to be pastors and say, listen, you need to put the career and put that on hold. And you're going to speak to your wife and say, listen, God is calling us into the ministry. God is calling us to be missionaries. Can I say to you here, wives, you need to trust God and say, you know, not be this woman. No, I'm not going nowhere, man. What are we going to live in? What are we going to wear? What are we going to provide? No, remember, the job and the man is not the path to resources. God is the path to resources. God can provide for you in first world, second world, third world, and even if there's fourth world. Because God is able. God has unlimited, limitless resources today. We need to tap into it. We need to be a people that say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I want to break the curse of poverty and the thinking of poverty over our life and over this church. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.